In our first story, labor unions are calling for a comprehensive overhaul of SNIT, seeking capped expenses and a reduction in government influence on its board as they contemplate taking control of the organization. During Joy News' national dialogue on pensions last night, labor experts highlighted the urgent need for government to resolve long-standing issues with Tier 2 pension payments and to review the existing law to ensure contributions are based on gross emoluments than just basic salary. Michael Ashali reports.
For some of them, the main problem is the governance and politicization of SNIT.
There are governance problems with SNIT. There are operational problems with SNIT.
SNIT and its management of our pension resources have not been the best.
Independent researcher Abdella Mashoud, who is the executive director of Africa Center for Pension Research, believes the problem is far worse.
At about 81%. Of employers who are employing between 1 to 30 employees are not paying social security contributions under Tier 2.
But SNIT would have none of that. Chief Actuary at SNIT, Joseph Poku, says payments are done by the book.
Lowest earner will be based on the minimum wage, the national minimum wage, which right now is around almost 400 Ghana cedis also. At the same time, somebody is getting 187,000 Ghana cedis every single month.
The panelists believe that there must be major reforms in the pensions industry to bring it back on track.
As organized labor also look at going into the future, representation on any kind of board when it comes to these investments. As we speak, all the security forces have gone into Kapeti. Mm. So where is the unification of pensions here? And from what we've heard, we look at the restructuring of SNIT in terms of its governance, management. Organized labor can lead in this direction. Our technical committee has started working.
We have to look at the pension redistribution policy.
And that report by Michael Ashali. Now, the principals of colleges of education say teachers will need to compensate for the time lost during their strike. While not ruling out an extension of the academic calendar if the strike is ended, President Professor Samuel Atintonu mentioned that a consensus will be reached with stakeholders to determine the academic calendar. My colleague Kenneth Jesse has more on the following report.
The possible extension of academic hours or otherwise, as hinted by the president of the Principals of Colleges of Education, Professor Samuel Atintonu, hinges on how soon the strike by the Colleges of Education Teachers Association of Ghana is called off.
We are hoping that whatever happens at the CETA Council meeting tomorrow, we look forward to a positive result. Lost hours, about 4 weeks, they have to go to classroom for 2 hours. If you multiply by four, that means 8 hours has been lost. And for sure, we are ready to see how we can address that.
Meanwhile, from the Greater Accra region to the Ashanti region, students at the various campuses of the Colleges of Education continue to bear the brunt of the harsh realities of the strike.
As I speak, most of the students have gone home. Few of them are on campus.
We are so confused and we don't know what to do.
Most of the topics, we've folded the pages in because we don't really understand them.
And we'll get to know later today the decision of CTAC members in their National Council meeting later today. Now, the National Democratic Congress has questioned the readiness of the Electoral Commission to conduct a free, fair and transparent election in December. EC Chair Jane Mensah told Parliament last week that over 770,000 persons were captured in the last registration exercise, increasing the total number of registered voters to 18.6 million. But at an IPA meeting yesterday to deliberate on the next mop-up exercise, the NDC raised questions about the figures. Deputy General Secretary Mustafa Ogbandi spoke to Joy News after the meeting.
EC should not be in the business of still publishing figures with errors. We believe that what they did during registration, where they gave us the assurance that they were going to correct, should have been the last thing. There is no chance to be calling IT officers to come and explain data. It is the duty of the commissioners to have vetted the data submitted by the IT department. So for them not to have done it, come to IPAC, which they have summoned, come to admit errors of their own figures, for me, it's questionable in terms of the competence, readiness of the Electoral Commission to do right.
Now, campaign chairman for the NPP, Peter McManus, says the EC must rather be commended for their transparency with political parties.
It was a very healthy atmosphere. The Electoral Commission, though an emergency meeting, must be applauded for being transparent with us. Then they also said there was a few adjustments to the calendar, the electoral calendar that they gave us, and that they will update it and bring it to us.
away from the EC, Special Prosecutor Kisie Jabin says he can only commence investigations into the questionable $34.9 million spare parts contract after a determination that the matter is within his mandate. A 2022 Auditor General's report raised red flags about the contract awarded by the Finance and Health Ministries to Service Ghana Auto Limited for 307 ambulances acquired by government in 2019. Well, the special prosecutor was petitioned by the Ngoc Thong MP Samuel Okudjetua Blakwa to investigate the matter has responded to that investigation can be commenced on only one condition. My colleague Maxwell Agbagba joins me in studio with more on this. Maxwell, what does the statement say?
Well, in this letter signed by the special prosecutor, he says, we acknowledge receipt of a filed complaint as stated above. The special prosecutor will direct the commencement of an investigation if he determines that the matter is within the mandate of the Office of the Special Prosecutor. You may be contacted for further assistance should the need arise. Please accept the compliments of my highest consideration.
Thank you very much, Maxwell Agbaba. Now, the COVID recovery levy continues to draw public criticism. As a fellow on health at the Center for Democratic Development, Dr. Kwame Sapoinsiedu describes it as untenable, despite the justification provided by the Minister of State at the Finance Ministry, Abner Osayasere, at the Public Accounts Committee hearing.
COVID is no more, but the impacts of COVID we still feel. There are so many things that we did during the COVID-19 pandemic that we are now having to take care of. COVID is gone, but the effects is still with us. We still have to pay for COVID-19 vaccines to build the immunities of our citizens.
Meanwhile, Director of Finance, I beg your pardon, according to Dr. Esiedu Sapong, the argument that people are still taking COVID-19 vaccines to justify the collection of the levy is flawed.
The Minister of State in the Finance Ministry, for example, saying that even as of now, people are taking COVID vaccines. If that argument is allowed to hold, then you would say that every vaccination that's been taken in the country has to have a levy. It becomes untenable.
Meanwhile, Director of Finance and Monitoring at the Ministry of Information, Mauli Segbefia, has justified the payment of over 150,000 cedis to staff who worked during the COVID lockdown. Meanwhile, Ministry of Chieftaincy, led by Stephen Asamoah Boateng, is yet to account for 600,000 cedis paid to six regional houses of chiefs as part of COVID-19 expenditure.
The chief director should ensure a recovery of the money. Has that been done? No, not recovered. You have accounted for it. Then that ends it.
You are right. No, not recovered.
But you have accounted for it. Why did you budget for that allowance?
Most officers of MDAs were required to stay at home.
Yes.
And that's how we end the bulletin here on Joy 99.7 FM. I am Amisi Nyamiche Thompson. Business is next on the Super Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Hey, we see you specking your car, taking that trip, chilling on the beach. Chilling. Now, we want to see this become your story. Simply use your Absa card 10 times or more, and you'll be entered into a monthly draw where you stand the chance to be among 5 lucky winners to take home 40,000 Ghana cedis. The more you use your card, the more entries you'll receive. Earn an extra entry by using the Absa app or internet banking 5 times or more. No Absa card, don't worry. Visit the nearest branch for an Absa account or card today and make winning part of your story. Promotion is between 1st July and 31st October. This promotion is regulated by the National Lottery Authority on the Caritas Lottery platform. Terms and conditions apply. Your story matters. Absa.
Please, do you still refill cylinders here?
Oh yes, and there are a lot of benefits when you refill gas cylinders here. Not only do we get to run safety checks on your cylinder before refill, but you get to buy any amount of gas per your pocket. And you even get to see for yourself how much is really being put into the cylinder, so you're not cheated.
Master, this one there, Philly Gadochi. I know say you no invite me, but I go talk some. If you no believe LPG stations, like how we taxi drivers, go fill our tanks.
But do these LPG stations have permit to still operate?
Of course. LPG stations are safer now than ever. We've always been licensed and fully regulated by National Petroleum Authority with total support from Ghana Fire Service, Ghana Standards Authority, Factory Inspectorate, as well as the EPA. So don't worry, crap.
Oh, I hear say this LPG stations be for indigenous Ghanaians. It be true?
Of course. LPG refilling is the only industry in Ghana that is now 100% owned by Ghanaians. By refilling your cylinders at the gas station, you are promoting indigenous businesses.
The money, you go stay here, no.
Oh, yes. Protect local businesses by refilling your gas cylinders at LPG stations nationwide.
We know we shall win, and we know we'll survive it. Shall wash away all tears.
Oh, Joe Panam.
Go, go, the go, go.
Ah, go, go me.
At what time will you come back where I don't hear the sound of your car? Why, you buy a new car?
No, I don't change my car. It be the same ride. It be the fuel way I change. Way one shouts it. Ever since I started using the all-new Excellium Premium Fuel, fortified with 3-in-1 action. Oh, Joe, now my car, they run like electric car. No, no, it's all.
This is the type of fuel where they want to. Because now engine, they cost. Where they want for way if I buy it, it go protect my engine. And with the small way I buy, I go drive, sir.
Absolutely. It's like strapping a turbocharger to your engine and giving it a protector. And what they bust my mind safe, be the 3-in-1 action, no? Excellium, they prevent up to 99% of deposit. It be anti-wear, some be anti-corrosion. Won't pay way now, open
there. Hey, yeah. So where can I find this magical fuel?
Just head over to any Total Energy service station and your car will thank you.
Hey, then make a finish Magobe fast, then rush go Total Energies. My friend, but why your hand the Magobe inside?
I give you info. Make a fill the Gobe too small.
Go, the go-go.
Excellium is designed to protect your car engine, decrease fuel consumption, and lower CO2 emissions. Don't say fuel, say Excellium. Choose Excellium, choose quality.
Anymore, pop quiz. Are you ready?
Hit me.
Can you give me three words that start with omni?
Oh, that's easy. Omnibus, omnipotent,
omniwana.
Omnibus. The bank with a really nice signboard.
Hey, Radzi. You mean Omnibusic. O-M-N-I-B-S-I-C. Omnibusic. Let me hear you say it.
Omnibusic.
Perfect.
Is that an abbreviation?
Not entirely. And it's not just a bank with nice signboards either. Omnibusic Bank is Ghana's fastest growing bank with innovative banking products and headquarters in Atlantic Tower at Airport City, Accra, as well as 40 branches across the country. Omnibusic Bank has the final word on excellent customer service delivery in Ghana.
Plus, they have the coolest signboard.
Yes, they do. And the coolest name, Omnibusic.
At your service.
Student. Cavity protection.
This advert is FDA approved.
The luckiest. Luck is everywhere for everyone. Yeah. The luckiest. Luck is everywhere for everyone. Yeah.
Doctors.
Nurses.
Barbers.
Drivers.
Bouncers.
Friends.
Teachers.
Bankers. The luckiest. Luck is everywhere for everyone. Yeah. The luckiest. Luck is everywhere for everyone. Yeah.
Doctors,
nurses,
barbers,
drivers,
bouncers,
friends,
teachers,
bankers. The luckiest.
You could be the luckiest.
Agbavu.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning to you. Good morning to you. So in 2017, right, a website called Illicit Encounters.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a dating website. I can't even get over the fact that dating websites go Illicit Encounters. Anyway, they did a survey of over 1,200 people. And they discovered, and by the way, this is a dating website for married people. Who,
Okay.
Okay.
That's right. Wild.
Yeah. So they did a survey of 1,200 of their users, right? And 60% of the women said they had previously forgiven a partner for cheating. 38% of the men said that they had previously forgiven a partner. So a big discrepancy there between how easily men forgive infidelity.
Women are more likely to.
Yes. Why though?
Well, I think that women are coming to accept, unfortunately, that their partners may be cheating. I mean, I think that's something most women have come to accept.
There does seem to be a certain norm in sort of our consciousness that men seem to be more unfaithful than women. But the studies actually say something else.
Are you sure?
Yes.
That's hard to believe, Kojo.
I know. I was surprised. I'll share some statistics with you, but I think it will shock you to know that
that is not the
way you think that women are actually far more promiscuous than men.
Oh, wow.
Yes, yes, yes.
Wow.
Anyway, that's not really the topic. The topic is, why is it harder for men to forgive infidelity than women, you know?
I also think that the women also think of the outcomes. For instance, if they're in the marriage, they're potentially going to lose the marriage. So why don't I forgive and then just keep the marriage working? I mean, I think it's one of the factors.
Especially
if you're dependent on the man.
You might be right. But except that about 65% of divorces are initiated by women. No, it's more than that. It's 85% of divorces are initiated by women.
Okay. But they're also forgiving more. So.
Yes. So it's strange. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, I look forward to hearing from our audience on this one, you know. Tell us. If you can tell us your story, tell us.
Yeah.
Have you ever forgiven infidelity in the past?
And as time goes
why
on,
did you? Yeah.
More women are becoming independent, and so it's easy for them to, you know, just move on after they discover their partner is cheating. So, that would be a reason.
Yeah. So, tell us, have you ever forgiven infidelity in the past? Why did you forgive it? And, you know, or have you found it hard to forgive infidelity? Mm-hmm. Have you ended a relationship because of infidelity? Yeah. Why? Okay. Give us your arguments. Let's hear them. Use the hashtag JoySMS when you're tweeting. Send us a voice note. It's Friday. We'd love to hear your voice. Yeah. Okay? 055-1111-997. Did you get that? 055-1111-997. All right. Okay. 6 a.m. news was brought to us by Total Energies. Total, we go the extra mile for you. And Absa Bank Ghana Limited, your story matters. Now the Joy Business Report unfolds before our very eyes, and it's all thanks to Omnibusic Bank at your service. Or is it our very ears? And Safari Valley Resort, bringing you closer to nature.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Joy Business Report. Coming up this morning, government sets aside funds to aid Eurobond debt servicing from this year as it downplays threats of default. We have details from the Minister of State at the Finance Ministry, Abinah Osayasare. Also, Ghana gets more than $9 billion as total export earnings for half year, representing a marginal increase over what was recorded in June 2023. Plus, Monetary Policy Committee of the Bank of Ghana to announce new policy rate after meeting this week to review the economy. And later, we bring you the second part of our business journal on the rising cost of living, the impact on female journalists as the Ghana Journalists Association takes measures to push for improved well-being of media practitioners. Stay with us for details. My name is Daryl Kwal. Thanks for being with us this morning. Hello to our friends listening from Koforidio on KT Radio. The government has revealed that the necessary funds have been set aside to help in servicing Eurobond debts this year. The country is expected to make an initial payment of $500 million this year as soon as an agreement is reached with the bondholders. However, there are fears that government could default because of its current state. Speaking on PM Express Business Edition, Minister of State at the Finance Ministry, Abdul Sari, downplayed the concerns.
When you look in the budget for 2024, we already made provision for payments of our interest. And so it is right in there that we behaved as if we hadn't concluded, because in November 2023, when we sent the budget to Parliament, we hadn't concluded the debt restructuring. So we budgeted for this funding to pay for our interest, and then to pay for amortization as well. So they are in there. Whatever monies that we need to use to pay for the Eurobonds agreement of the 500 million can be found in the finance.
So we shouldn't be afraid that it will hit our reserves again and the rippling impact on the local currency and all the rest.
It is something we had already budgeted to pay. We had budgeted to pay our interest and also amortization as well. It's clearly in there. So whatever we do, we will be working within the framework that has been approved for us.
Minister of State at the Finance Ministry of North Sasari on PM Express Business Edition. There's a repeat of that interview this morning at 11 on the Joy News channel. Now, Ghana's total export earnings for the first 6 months of the year increased marginally to hit $9.2 billion. Here's more from the Bank of Ghana's summary of economic and financial data ending June this year.
The report showed that in June 2023, Ghana earned $8.1 billion from its export, compared to $9.2 billion ending June 2024, with the exception of cocoa, which the country had just $760 million, which was far lower than what the country recorded in the same period for last year. All the other commodities in June 2024 brought in more than what we had in June 2023. The amount of money the country spent on import for first half of this year increased marginally to reach $7.4 billion, up from $6.5 billion in June 2023. The development resulted in a trade balance of $1.8 billion. For some, this could be good for the country's reserve and possible impact on the local currency.
And that was a business desk report. So the Bank of Ghana's international reserves reached $6.8 billion at the end of June this year. It shows a significant increase over the $5.3 billion the bank had in June last year. And this represents 3 months of import cover. Meanwhile, the Bank of Ghana puts the cedi depreciation for the first 6 months of this year at 19.6%. Now, the Monetary Policy Committee of the Bank of Ghana is getting ready to announce a new policy rate later today. After meeting to review the economy over the past 2 months, the policy rate currently stands at 29%. Some analysts are projecting that it could be kept at the current rate, looking at the developments in the economy now. In other news, the Ghana Enterprises Agency is keen on building the skills of entrepreneurs through partnerships with hubs and network centers across the country. The move is expected to help grow the operations. Chief Executive of the Ghana Enterprises Agency, Kosianke Ai, made this known to Joy Business at a closed session of the Market Creating Innovation Bootcamp in Accra, together with some entrepreneurial hubs.
We envision a lot of successes. One, most importantly, is the strengthening of our hubs network, of which the executive director is here to work with us to ensure that we do more. I think that what we envision as success is that we're going to get more innovative driven entrepreneurship, where entrepreneurs are coming up with solutions to the challenges, where they're looking at how to scale and build their businesses and how to grow it. And we see a partnership amongst all the members for posterity, where we are able to do more for the country, where we are able to build more and also grow more businesses. What we brought to the table really for this partnership as Ghana Enterprises Agency is our ability to convene, our ability to work with various stakeholders, our ability to grow stakeholders, our ability to also bring on board some funding that would ensure that this project is a success. And that's what we've been able to achieve. Yes, we need to do more. And these are some of the ways in which we're doing more to build the Ghanaian entrepreneurial ecosystem.
Kosianke Ai, Chief Executive of the Ghana Enterprises Agency. Now, here's an interesting one. As the cost of living in Ghana continues to rise, journalists are feeling the financial strain, prompting news editors and the Ghana Journalists Association to take action. Newsrooms are implementing measures such as adjusted salaries and flexible work shifts to alleviate the burden on their staff. Meanwhile, the GJA is advocating better pay and working conditions, emphasizing the need for structural reforms to support journalists facing economic hardships. This morning on our Business Journal, we bring you the second part of our feature on the impact of the rising cost of living.